Well, we got a full house today. I suppose we'll have to start putting out some more chairs. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, the virus doesn't stop you. And I just am so appreciative to you as a wonderful congregation. Good to have Ashley's mom with us today. Jenny, is that correct? And then is this your grandparents over here? Nana. And her uncle. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. Glad to have you with us. I think the rest of us are pretty much home, folk. And so good to see you this morning. Well, we've got some people in the back. We'll meet you later, I hope. Glad to have you. God bless you. Glad you could come today. So we've been talking about building a bridge of faith. All of us, as believers in Christ, need more faith in a lot of different areas. We're building this bridge. There's 12 planks, and we're on the fourth plank of building our bridge of faith, and that is the plank of God's provision. Many of God's children worry about basic needs being met. When is the paycheck going to be larger than my payments going out? Is my income going to be greater than my outgo? You know, Mike and Briar have been teaching Financial Peace University, and sometimes one of the problems is that we misspend the resources that God gives us. That's one of the problems. And I would encourage you, if your monthly payments are greater than your income, or you're just kind of living on the edge, I would encourage you to go to that class, because there's a lot of principles from God's Word that if you put into practice, the things can go a whole lot different for you financially. So to start today, I just want you to know that God is our supply. God is our supply. His riches become our supply. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." Would you read that with me? "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, this passage of Scripture doesn't say that he will supply some of your need. He says, "I will supply all your need, all your need." He didn't say, "I will supply most of your need." He said, I supply all your need." So let me ask you a question. What is your need this morning? A lot of times we think of needs as being financial or material. But have you ever considered that some people need a friend? Or some people need an encouragement or a pick-me-up. God says, see, this is not just condensed to your financial needs. He says, "I will meet all your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus." How much riches do you think God has? Do you think he has enough? You think he has enough to supply your need? So he has a promise, and he says, "I promise you that I will supply every need according to my riches in glory." Isn't that a wonderful promise? I love that promise. I know there have been times in my life and when my wife and I struggled financially. We barely made ends meet. But I knew that I could depend on God regardless of how things went at work or went that didn't have work or whatever, I knew that God would supply my need. The second thing we need to find out, discover concerning this God's provision is that if we need it, we need to pray for it. If we need it, we need to pray for it. How many of you have ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Stop there. Give us this day our daily bread. A lot of times we pray for next month, next year. Jesus said, pray after me. This is a model prayer. And when you pray, just pray for your daily needs. Just pray for your daily needs. Do you have everything you need today? Who supplied that? God did. And we can trust Him. So when tomorrow gets here, we can trust Him to supply tomorrow. Now, there have been times that, you know, I've been praying for an elk. That only happens once a year. Lord, give me an elk. Hey, I got my elk. So we're praying, and God knows our needs. And I'm asking, Lord, give me an elk. I need an elk. I need to get it in the freezer. We need to pray. God says to pray. If you don't ask, you won't receive. You have not because you ask not. So God says what you need to do, listen, I've got everything you need, but what I need is you for to ask me about it. That's what I need. That's why God, I need you to ask me for it. Don't just assume I'm going to give it to you, but you need to pray for it, and you need to ask me. You might not get it if you don't ask. So we need to pray for it. We in this country don't have to worry about a lot. We don't have to worry about whether we're going to eat or what we're going to eat. We don't have to worry about, I mean, even those people who are down and out can go to the food bank, right? And they can get supplies. The Lord has blessed us. Now, you may not always like what you got, but you got it. But you got it. And we need to thank the Lord. Once we get it, we don't need just stop there. We need to thank the Lord for the things that He's given us because He gave it to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights with whom there is no shadow of turning. So whenever we get it, we need to stop and we need to give thanks. And we need to praise Him because He loves you and He loves me. He has all the resources and He wants to bless us, but we need to ask. The third thing we find, and Tom read this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6 earlier, there's no need to worry, stress, or fear, or fret. There's no need to worry, fret, or fear. Jesus said this, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles or the heathen seek, and the Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Don't worry. Don't worry. God knows you need it. So what we need to do is talk to Him first. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." When Cynthia and I moved to Portland, Oregon in 1978, I was looking for a job. And I couldn't find a job. And things were tough. But you look up here at me. I'm still alive. I'm still here. We had to eat rice and beans for a while. But we're still here. And God has provided ever since that time. And that I had just become a Christian probably in 1980. And I found this verse of scripture in Matthew 6:33, and it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And I claimed that for my life verse. And I said, "Lord, you said, if I seek you first, that you'll provide everything else I needed." Not everything else I greeted, not everything else I wanted, not everything else I desired, but every need I had, God supplied those needs. And he said, "Listen, there's a condition. You seek me first, I will provide for you. You seek me first, I'll provide for you." I know Bob and Caroline could spend hours up here sharing about how the Lord provided for them over and over and over as they were on the mission field working with YWAM. And time after time after time after time, he's told me many of these stories, God just came through at the last minute. Did you know that God never gets in a hurry? He never gets in a hurry, but he's never late. He never, and we're waiting and we're thinking, "God, where are you? You said you were gone." He's just kind of like, "I see it. I know what I'm doing. Hang in there. Don't quit. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep pushing. Keep seeking me. Keep putting me first. That's it. Okay, here you go. Lord, it's the last day." Yep, it's the last day. Here it is. "God, I need it." God has every need. He has every supply that you need. He has it all. So what do you need? Do you need guidance? Do you need a job? Do you need wisdom? Do you need direction for life? Do you need friends? Do you need food? Do you need shelter? Will God be there when things get tough? How many of you have ever been through some tough times? Was God there then? So if you meet tough times in the future, will he be there at that time? He will always be there. He will always be there. There are some Christians in restricted nations and hostile areas, and following Christ means that they could be beaten, they could be tortured, or even death. And for others who decide to follow Christ, it could mean their livelihood. It could mean that they would lose their job if they followed Christ. And that's the case of a man in Pakistan. Asif was a well-liked supervisor at a garment factory in Pakistan. And as a Christian, he led 10 co-workers in prayer before work every morning. But his factory owner was a Muslim, and he wanted Asif to convert to Islam and told him to stop the prayers. Asif responded by giving the man a Bible so he could learn about the Christian faith. And the factory owner continued to harass Asif. He brought an Islamic cleric to persuade Asif to accept Islam, and he tried to force Asif to join the Muslim prayers. But Asif refused each of the owner's efforts to convert him. And finally, the owner gave him an ultimatum: accept Islam or lose your job. This is what Asif said: "My God will provide me with everything I need." Asaph's commitment to Christ cost him his job. And if you know anything about Pakistan, it's hard to find jobs in Pakistan, and especially difficult for Christians to find jobs in Pakistan. Asaph knew exactly what the consequences were going to be when he continued to live for the Lord. But he's trusting God to take care of his needs. Do you think God's going to take care of Asaph's needs? God will. I don't know how. But God will take care of Asaph's needs as well as his family's needs. Worry does not provide for tomorrow's needs. But it steals the joy of today. Worry does not provide for tomorrow's needs. It only steals from today's joy. Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah, that old song, don't worry, be happy. We're going to let Tom sing that for us one day. Jesus said, you can trust me, so don't worry. Worry, fret, and being fearful over those type of things will not help you in any way. It will just cause problems. We used to sing a song called Count Your Blessings. When upon life's billows, your tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I find when I become fearful, when I become worrying, when I become fretful, that one of the best things I can do is to begin to replay what God has done for me over the years. To begin to count his blessings. And remembering how the Lord's faithfulness has carried me through some difficult times. And I want to encourage you. All of us go through difficult times. Every single one of us. You may be going through some difficult times in your life right now. And you don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know who holds tomorrow. And he has you in his hand. And he promises you he will never, ever let you go. He said that no one can pluck you out of his hand. You can rest assured that God has you. You can rest assured that he's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to meet every need that you have. Do you know that old song? Count your blessings. Sing it if you know it. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Isn't that a wonderful song? Count your blessings. The last thing I want to call to your attention is that God's name is Provider. His name is Provider. Abraham was a wealthy man in a lot of ways. Probably one of the most wealthy men in his day. But he only had one son. It was a promised son. But God decided to test Abraham and to see if his love for his son was greater than his love for God. And so he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son to me. So in Genesis chapter 22, we find that Abraham strapped the bundles of wood on Isaac. And Abraham was carrying the fire. And they were going up the hill to the place for sacrifices. And Isaac says to Abraham, hey, Dad, I see the sticks and the bundle of wood. I see the fire, but I don't see the sacrifice. And Abraham said, son, my God will provide. Isaac didn't know what was going on. Well, they got up to the top of the hill, and when they got there, Abraham started binding Isaac. And all of a sudden, it dawned on Isaac what was taking place. How would you have felt had you been Isaac? And I'd been praying hard. I'd have been fearful. Abraham laid Isaac on the altar. He took his knife. He held it up. And just before he plunged it into Isaac's heart, God spoke to Abraham. He said to Abraham, I see. Stop, Abraham. Don't kill your son. I see that you love me more than you love your son. And Abraham looked over, and there was a ram that was caught in the bushes in the thicket. And God provided a substitute for Abraham. And this is what Abraham said. Abraham named the place in Genesis 22:14. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use the name as a proverb, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The Lord, my provider, Jehovah Jireh. So what if you had been Isaac? What if you were being bound and destined for death? Put yourself in his place. What would you have been hoping? I would have been hoping for deliverance. That's what I would have been hoping for. The truth is that all of us were in or have been in Isaac's place. We've been bound by the enemy. We've been bound by sin. And we've been bound to a destiny separated from God and to a death that is certain. But God provided a substitute. God is the provider. Isn't that amazing? He provided a substitute for Isaac. And he's provided a substitute for you. God provided someone to take my place. He provided someone to take your place. God, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, provided Jesus to die in my place. He was bound in my stead. He was condemned to death in my place. He provided Jesus to take my sin and my curse and my punishment. And all we have to do is receive the gift that God has provided. God offers you a gift. He says, I want to set you free. Will you accept that sacrifice? And it would have been stupid for Isaac to say, no, I don't want that ram to take my place. I'm going to just do it myself. God offers you a lifeline through Jesus Christ. He's the only lifeline. There's no other lifeline. God provided for you because he's the provider. And he knew from the beginning of the world how he's going to deliver you. And that's through Jesus Christ. And this morning, I don't know what your relationship is with Jesus Christ. But you, would you this morning just, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you just reach out to him and say, Lord God, thank you for the substitute that you've provided. I received your gift of eternal life. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. And I turn to you. Jesus is the only substitute. We're just going to pause here just for a few minutes. I want you to commune with the Lord. God wants you to come into his kingdom. He's provided for you not just material things, not just financial blessings, not just health, but he's provided eternal life. He's provided a substitute to take your place so that you don't have to be punished because Jesus was punished for you. We're going to have an invitation here in just a second. And if it is your desire to receive Christ, it's your desire to allow God to set you free from your bondages, would you just tell him that right now? Would you reach out up to heaven and grab the gift that God has given you by faith? Father, I come before you and I just lift up this wonderful group of people that you've come, that's been sent our way today. We thank you for the provision that you've made for us, particularly the provision of salvation through Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that today, if there's anyone here who's not received that gift, that before they leave here today, that they would receive you. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.